Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Tonight, the Lord laid a message on my heart, and I entitled it, Freedom in the Fear of the Lord. I want us to look at the freedom that we have in exalting the Lord to the highest place. When we exalt Him, we walk in the fullness of the fear of the Lord, fully in apprehending all that He has for us. So I want to take a look at fear itself. There's two sides to fear. There's a bad side of fear, and then there's a good side of fear. And a bad side of fear, definition is anxiety caused by real or possible danger, an apprehension or a concern, to expect something bad to happen, to expect something bad with misgiving. See, this kind of fear turns into a phobia, and we are such a phobia society. We are one of the most highly medicated societies because of all the fear and all the phobia that we function in as a society every day. And the definition of phobia is an irrational, excessive, and persistent fear of something or of a situation. A phobia combines fear with an intense dread of something. And there's some unhealthy phobias. It's amazing when you look at some of the stories of there's phobias that people have actually lived in their homes for 20 and 30 years and have never come out. Have never left their homes. They do work from their homes. They have food delivered. They have things delivered. They somehow get doctors to come to their homes. They somehow manipulate the system to be able to stay in their house for years. There's people who have phobias about planes and trains and cars and boats, and dentists and doctors. The list goes on of all kinds of things, spiders and you name it. And sometimes they're kind of funny. But other times, they're absolutely paralyzing. To the person who operates and functions in that unhealthy fear, it is absolutely paralyzing to them. It is on their mind constantly. How many of you know who John Madden is? So, Mr. Football announcer guy, right? Did you know that all those years that he did the Monday night games and all the different Sunday games, he never stepped one foot on a plane? Never got on a plane. He had a custom-made bus to take him everywhere. And there were times where, because of weather and other things, he was late. And sometimes didn't make it to the games, and they would just have someone else do it. But he refused to, that whole career that he had of doing that, he refused to get on a plane. He would not do it. So we should all live with a healthy measure of caution. There's a healthy measure of caution and not putting yourself at risk and, you know, lock your door, lock your cars, do those things, you know, and keep yourself from being in harm's way. You know, so there's a healthy measure of caution that we should all have in our lives, but to not allow our lives to be dictated by the fears that live within us. People who give in to the bad side of fear, they plan out their days according to it. They plan it out. They allow fears to weave into every single aspect of their lives. And it's amazing how some people even allow fear to dictate even the biggest decisions of their lives. They won't work at a certain place, or, you know, if they have to take an elevator, or they won't work at a certain place or whatever. They won't live in a certain neighborhood because of certain things. And so, but a lot of times these things are kept very private that you would never know it. Sometimes people function in a lot of unhealthy fear, but they really don't let it be known. And sometimes the closer you get, you might run into it sometimes. But see, there's a good side to fear, and that is to be in awe and to have a reverence for, an overwhelming respect for, and an overwhelming honor for. See, we combat the bad side of fear with the fear of the Lord. And I ran into some definitions of the fear of the Lord today, and I really like these. The fear of the Lord is an active awareness of and a dependence on and humbly submission to Jesus Christ, our true and living Lord, our living God, an active awareness of, You know, to be able to think about Jesus throughout the course of our day, to pray, to always factor him into everything throughout our day. Lord, what are you saying here? Lord, what do you want me to do here? Hey, Lord, what's going on here? To be constantly aware of him and to know what's going on with him throughout the course of the day. It's amazing how the more aware we are of him, the more that he'll guide and lead and direct our steps throughout the course of the day. And humble submission to him. It's humility is something that the Lord loves to traffic in. So a humble submission to him is saying, okay, Lord, I'll do that. I will go ahead and do that. I'll do that thing. So sometimes when the Lord just makes us aware of what he's wanting us to do, sometimes to pray for people. And I remember one time when we were in our other facility, the Lord was really prompting me to pray for this one guy who came in for the Joseph Storehouse, came in for some food. And the Lord was really after me to pray for this guy. And I said, Lord, if you want me to pray for him, would you tell his face? Because he looks really mean right now. So finally I said, all right, I'll go ahead and pray for him. And it was really interesting. He was kind of jaundiced. His skin was really kind of yellowish. And I went up to him and I said, can I pray for you? He said, it's about time. I was hoping you'd come and pray for me. So I said, how can I pray for you? And he said, I have liver failure. And he said, I have cancer of the liver. They said that I don't have long. I'm supposed to go down to the VA for some tests. And a lot of times with the VA, there's a lot of hoops and things get jammed up. And the process is long. And he'd been persevering through the process of it. And he wasn't really hopeful. He said that they said that he really needed a liver transplant pretty quickly. I said, well, let's pray and see what the Lord will do. So I began to pray for him, and we just had this incredible prayer time. So then he left a little while later, and he had on like a sweatshirt and some old blue jeans and stuff. And a few weeks later, he came in, and I didn't recognize him. He had a suit on, and he didn't have a hat on. His hair was real down. I'm looking at him thinking, is that the same guy? And he went ahead and he said, you know, I went down there anyway. He said, but look at my skin color. He said, the Lord healed me. He said, they couldn't find any cancer in my liver. They couldn't find anything wrong with it. He said, they took me off the list. And he said, I just thought I'd come in here and tell you. And I just, you know, it was amazing to me. You know, and I almost missed it. I almost missed it because his face didn't look like he wanted prayer. But the Lord kept prompting me. So to always be aware of what the Lord has. So finally, in humility, I said, okay, Lord, I'll go pray for him. And I almost missed that incredible opportunity. There's been opportunities like that, I think, for a lot of us at times when we don't really want to do something or pray for someone. The Lord will have us do it if we're aware of him. So the fear of the Lord is just being aware of him throughout the course of the day, just really being engaged with the Lord. And sometimes to not miss those opportunities that he has for us. So it says, an active awareness of and a dependence on and humble submission to Jesus Christ, our true and living God, our living God. The fear of the Lord is a reverent awe. It is a holy sense of the divine. When we look at the Lord with a wow, you know, a fear of the Lord in our lives, we should be able to say wow about the Lord about 25 times a day at least, you know. Wow, Lord, I can't believe you did that. Wow. You know, just all day long, just to be able to say wow. Remember one time I was used to work in a factory, and I was coming home, and I was not feeling well. I was getting a flu, and when you get a flu, all you want to do is sleep, right? Well, it's not good if you got to drive 25 miles home. I'd pulled over like 2-3 times, tried to get fresh air, and there came a point. It was coming down 331, just south of the bypass, and I fell asleep at the wheel. I fell asleep. I was gone, and I all of a sudden heard, wake up. And I was ready to crash into the back of a van. And all I had time to say was Jesus. And my car, whenever I hit the brakes, my car seemed to always go to the right. Why? It was a driving rainstorm too. I hit the brakes and I flipped out left into oncoming traffic and went sideways across the traffic and went on the side of the road and just kind of gently stopped on the other side of the road after like spinning like 3 times. And then all my friends who I worked with were looking at me like, what is he doing on that side of the road? I'm just waving at them as they came by. But you know, if there's a, and I sat there and I did, I was just like, wow, 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 I was wowed by the Lord just with his interaction with me and with one word, Jesus. All I had time to say was Jesus, and flipped me out in traffic and spared my life and spared me from any harm and my car from any harm. So it's that constant. I think we should be able to be wowed by the Lord throughout the course of the day, just by answered prayer, just by the things that he does, the revelation that we get, sometimes waking up with a dream. How many of you are dreamers? You get dreamers from the Lord. You wake up and you get these crazy dreams, and then you wake up and say, Lord, can I have the interpretation for that? Like, now? What was that all about? You know, you just like all these amazing things that you see in the dream. And then when he gives you the interpretation, and it's a lot of times it's amazing. Sometimes I'll get up and I'll have these dreams in it, and I don't do anything with it right away, but then it'll stir in me. It'll stir. And when it doesn't go away, I'm like, all right, Lord, what was that all about? What do you want me to know about that? So it's been some amazing dreams, and the colors and all the things. So we can say, wow, at least 25 times a day. So tomorrow, keep count of how many times the Lord wows you throughout the course of the day, all right? See, we fight an unholy, unhealthy fear. We fight that and combat it with the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So how many times do we need wisdom in our lives to cry out for wisdom? So the fear of the Lord, when we really get into this place of really worshiping the Lord and exalting him to who he is and making him the Lord of our lives and fully functioning with him in that regard, that's just the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of what he has for you. I remember many times calling upon the wisdom of the Lord and him giving strategies to me that I would have never thought about, would have never in the natural thought about. I had this one coworker who was pretty insistent on being mean and pretty insistent on telling me that my Bible didn't belong in the workplace and all this stuff. And he was just really hard to work with. And one day he made a mistake, and I was a machine operator, and he took the product off and he packed them all, like 50. It was supposed to be 250 in a box, and there was 200. And the worst thing for a machine operator is the next day when you see all the product from your previous day off to the side and they're cutting it up and going through it. That's like the worst thing. So he's blaming me, and I'm trying to show him that he was wrong. And it was just this big, hard day. And so on the way home, I said, Lord, would you show me? Would you give me wisdom for this guy? I just don't know what to do with him. This is really difficult. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, ask him to allow you to empower, to be empowered as the operator, to tell him what to do. And if you tell him what to do and give him instruction, then you've released him. Then if something's wrong, it's your responsibility. But if he won't take instruction from you, then it's his responsibility. So the next day I laid out that plan to him, and he said, all right. So he said, so if you tell me the specs and everything I'm supposed to do, then if it comes out wrong, then it's your fault. He said, but if I don't listen to you, do what I want to do, then it's my fault. He said, all right, I'll shake on that. But not only on him, but like the 10 people following him that took his position after him, I used that same strategy. So here I was in this perplexing place with this guy and really at my wit's end. And the Lord just gives me a nugget of wisdom that changed the whole way that my job went from day to day for years, just because of a little bit of wisdom from the Lord. When you cry out for the wisdom, he'll give it to you. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And understanding is really when the Lord gives you the strategy to do something, and he gives you strategy. Understanding is how to work it out. And there's times when we need to really figure things out from the Lord. And understanding is also when you get that revelation and what it means for you in your life. When you get a verse, all of a sudden you get it. You read this verse and you get it. And you have understanding of what that means. And all of a sudden he'll give you the ability to apply it to your life as well. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. To step into wisdom and to lay hold of understanding. Proverbs 8:13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. And also goes on to say, I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. You know, there's a difference between our definition of evil and the Lord's definition of evil. I really believe that we're far apart sometimes, that You know, we want to give a lot of grace for everything. Well, that's not bad. That's not so bad. That's not really all that bad. But when you ask the Lord, what is your definition of evil? What is your definition? You know, we tend to put it as, you know, the guys who did the Twin Towers and all these people who did these really terrible things. But, you know, what is it? What is God's definition of evil? And a really incredible prayer to pray for you is to ask the Lord, Lord, is there any evil in my life? Is there anything that you would call evil in my life? And to ask him that. That takes a lot of guts to ask that prayer. But you know what? He loves to answer that prayer, and he will answer it because he doesn't want it in your life. And the fear of the Lord is to understand that and to know that and to get rid of that, to hate evil, to put the stuff that God hates in our life as the same standard for evil that he has. So we lose our tolerance when we have the greater measure of the fear of the Lord. We lose our tolerance for the things that we are just give into. But yet when we say, Lord, would you show me your stance on evil? Then he'll give us that and he'll show us that and give us that revelation of that. And pride and arrogance. The word pride, the letter in the middle of pride is I. And pride and arrogance says, I'll have it my way. And so the to fear the Lord is to get rid of that stuff in our life, to not have any arrogance or pride in our lives, to not have the evil behavior, perverse speech. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. You know, there's a few places in Scripture that talk about adding length to our life. You know, so to have the fear of the Lord, our days are numbered by the Lord, but you know what? To add, it says you'll add. So the more that we fear the Lord, the more that we come into that place of absolute reverence to him, exalting him to the highest place, living our lives in such a way that our lives say that we fear the Lord. The greatest compliment that you can ever have is if you've worked with someone for a little bit of time or you spend some time with someone and they don't know initially that you're a Christian, but they're around you enough to know that you fear the Lord and they say, you're a Christian, aren't you? Because they acknowledge and recognize that something is in your life that you have given it over to the Lord and you live for him and you show it by example. That is an amazing compliment that you can get. Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Boy, that's a good one to have. How many of us would love to be untouched by trouble, right? Untouched by trouble. The fear of the Lord leads to life. And that life is where we have peace in the Lord, that we can trust him. No matter what's going on in our lives, that we can still worship him in the midst of trouble, in the midst of storms, in the midst of things that are going on. A lot of times things don't make any sense at all. The only thing that makes sense is to be able to worship him and to praise him in the midst of that. That we have a peace from the Lord, that we have a peace in the midst of the storms. I was going through a really tough situation one time, just a really hard place. And at the same time, my mother-in-law was dying of cancer in my home. And she had died a few months after this situation. It was just a hard place. And there came a point when my wife was worried about me and she's trying to take care of her mom. And one day she looks at me and she said, wow, you're really in a peaceful place. You have like this mantle of peace on you. I just feel this weight of peace on you. She said, yeah, I don't have to worry about you. She said, Lord's got you. I'll just take care of mom. I know he's taking care of you. And there was two of our friends in our lives that during this season, they saw like a gold aura of peace on me. I'm walking in Martin's one day. I'm getting cans of mushrooms and stuff. And this, I'm walking through the bakery section and this gal worked in a bakery and she just starts weeping. I was like, okay, what's going on? She goes, it's been months, and I still see that on you. Every time you walk in this store, I see the peace of the Lord on you. I don't know why he's allowed me to see that on you. But she saw it for probably months, 6 to 9 months, she saw that on me, to see me through that. And that was about how many months it took the Lord to see me through this really tough place in my life. But, you know, so it's that place of trusting the Lord. Being in a place that the fear of the Lord leads to life, then you rest content, untouched by trouble. The enemy wants us to react to trouble, but the Lord wants us to respond to it. And we respond to it by walking in the fear of the Lord and trusting him. And purposeful saying, you know what, Lord, none of this makes sense. This is hard. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to stand in this place, and I'm going to trust you. I think about the disciples when they were in the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus was sleeping. I love that story, because they were just like all freaked out. Lord, don't you care? We're going to die out here. You know, they have here he is, Jesus, and all his glory, and they're like, we're going to die out here. But yet, then he calms the storm, and they say, who is this guy that even this stuff obeys him? So if the Lord can calm that storm in their lives, he can calm the storm in your life. There's a song out there that I love. It says, sometimes he calms the storm, and sometimes he calms his child. And I love that. Proverbs 15:33, in a couple translations, it says, wisdom teaches the fear of the Lord, and humility comes before honor. So wisdom teaches us how to walk in the fear of the Lord. And the Lord loves to traffic in humility. It says he exalts those who are humble. So he loves to do that. And wisdom teaches us how to fear the Lord, how to walk in that place of always keeping him reverent and always really looking to him. And not getting into a place of pity, not getting into a place of playing the victim card all the time. The fear of the Lord says, Lord, no matter what's going on in my circumstances in my life, I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to proclaim your name, and I'm going to look to you in a steadfast way. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. I've heard over and over again so many times, and even from me, that if I didn't give my life to the Lord, I know that I would be a dead man. There were things that I was doing. I put my life at risk so many times. Oh my goodness, I've had guns pointed at me and all this stuff before I knew the Lord, and just crazy things put myself at risk in so many times. And I just know that I know that if I hadn't given my life to the Lord, you know, that I would not be alive. And so it says he keeps you from the snares of death. You know, there's the enemy loves to trap us into those things that will lead us to a place of death. And to be able to turn your life around, you know, and I've been healed from illnesses that were life-threatening, you know, and just I'm just amazed. Every day amazed. A wow. Another wow, right? Every day amazed that I'm still alive. But to put myself at risk through those so many years, to be able to say, Lord, you spared me from death. You spared me. And I know probably many of you in this room have that same testimony. Before you knew the Lord, we were doing things that put ourselves at risk. So to be able to come into that place of fearing the Lord, of resting in who he is, resting in his sovereignty, in his goodness, in his power, in his grace, and reaching out to him, looking for wisdom. When I was, was a caregiver for my parents, and there was a time when my mom was drinking really, really heavy, really bad. And she wasn't one of those fun drunks, you know. She was pretty nasty. And she was abusive to my dad, but he wouldn't report her. I mean, she really hit him, and it was pretty bad sometimes. And but he never wanted to feel like he would dishonor her that way, so he just dealt with it. But it was a time when I said, Lord, I need wisdom. I said, how do you honor your mother when I don't even like her? I don't even like what she's doing, what she's about. I can't honor her. And the Lord said, I felt the Holy Spirit say, set clear boundaries. You don't have to be disrespected. He said, warn her three times. And if she doesn't stop, leave. Drop what you're doing and leave. You don't have to be disrespected. And I thought, wow, I'm going to give that a shot. And so I did it, and she says, oh, yeah, what are you going to do, leave? I said, yeah. And so I left one time, and I was cooking dinner for him and turned everything off and just left. The next time, took her a little bit longer, but once again, I just left. And the third time, I was getting ready to leave, she said, all right, I'll stop. And what was amazing about that was this was like 20 years before they passed. And it was just probably 15, 20 years, and it was just one of those times where it changed everything for me. I was able to honor her, and I set clear boundaries. And once I set those boundaries, I didn't have to leave that many times. But there were times where she was on me a little bit, and my dad would say to her in Polish, "You better stop it. He's going to leave." So, and it, as they got older and as they got worse through illness, that never left them. That never left them. They knew that that was my stance. And I thought, Lord, that was so brilliant. That was brilliant. Because I was ready to give up. And I, and at the end of their life, I thought, wow, that stance you gave me all those years ago, it carried all the way through these years. So if you're at your wit's end with something, wisdom teaches us to fear the Lord. Wisdom, it's there for us. And the Lord just activates it through the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14:26 says, "He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a fortress." So there's a legacy in fearing of the Lord. So when we fear the Lord, we're secure in him. And our children can be secure in him. He sets up that fortress. There's a legacy that we can give to our children in the fear of the Lord. And it's transferable. It's absolutely transferable. In Proverbs 29:25, it talks about the fear of man. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. You see, the fear of man, a definition of the fear of man, is to hold men in higher esteem than God calls you to. To give a man an unhealthy authority in your life, or to give a man an unhealthy, to have an unhealthy desire for someone's approval. To always try to be a person pleaser, to try to have their approval, to do everything you can to get their approval. But see, the fear of man can lead you to an unholy, unsafe place for you. It's putting men and women in a wrong place in your life. I remember one time I was really frustrated by this person. I cried out to the Lord. The Lord said, I'll send many men into your life to guide and lead and teach you. But always look past their shoulder onto me. That is another one of those, man, Lord, that was brilliant. It was wonderful. Because that has saved me so many times from putting a person on a pedestal that would have been unhealthy for me. So ask the Lord if there's anything in your life that you have as a remnant of the fear of man. Is there any fear of man? Lord, how much of the fear of man is in me, Lord? Would you show me? And he'll show you to get rid of that stuff. In Philippians 2, part of verse 12 and 13, it says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." To work out our salvation with fear and trembling. To come to that place to say, Lord, I'm all into this thing. I am all in. I am in all the way in this thing, Lord. To work it out with fear and trembling. To come before him. To walk out that salvation in any way possible. To say, Lord, I'm your guy. I'm your woman. I'm in, Lord. See, the fear of the Lord causes us to delight in him. To exalt him. To praise him. No matter what's going on in your life. You know, I love the story of Daniel. To where he was so faithful to pray three times a day that they could easily make laws to trap him because they knew that he wasn't going to waver. And are we people that others can know not to call us at a certain time because that's when we're worshiping or that's our prayer time or that's when we're exalting the Lord. We set aside a time, a place for the Lord. Can we be trapped by someone because if they don't like us, because of our life before the Lord? Can he do that? Can people do that to us? Daniel was a person who did that. He kept centered on the Lord. We need to be centered on him. We have the freedom to fear the Lord. The greatest freedom we have is to fear the Lord. It's the greatest sense of freedom that we have, is to walk in the fullness of exalting him to the highest place. See, there's a divine exchange. The greater that we fear the Lord, a greater revelation of his love that we have for us. The more that we fear him, the more that we press into who he is, the greater revelation of his love that we understand. And it's the greatest thing to understand the Father's love for us, to understand that. So there's a divine exchange. The more we press into that, I love that part when in the song, I wrote it down, that one part of the song, it said, "I was created to make his praise glorious." Whew, that's a wow. There's a wow right there. There's a wow. But see, the Lord is after our heart. He wants an undivided heart. He doesn't want us to fear him 60%, 40%, only 80% on Tuesdays or Thursdays. He's after our hearts. He's after it completely, to be completely abandoned to him, to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling, to not ever go back, to walk in the fullness of all that he has for us, to say yes to the calling and destiny upon our lives, to say yes even to the most difficult things that he's asking us to do. Because even in the most difficult things he asks us to do, you know there's grace to do it. If you're called to do it, he's going to give you grace and the ability to do it. I want Michael to play a little bit, and I just really want to put a call out there for you too, for a greater portion of the fear of the Lord and a greater revelation of the fear of the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're saying, Lord, that's my heart. I want to understand the fear of the Lord. I want a greater revelation of what that means, Lord. And I want a greater portion of it. Lord, I want a greater measure of it. Lord, I don't like the times in my life when I'm wishy-washy or I'm not all in, Lord. I don't like that in me. Lord, would you make a greater portion in me? If that's you tonight, I'd like you to come up for prayer. And the healing team's available. If there's any pastors here tonight, we can pray for you. Any of the prophetic team will pray for you. So just to be able to say, Lord, if there's a greater portion, if you want a greater revelation of the fear of the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for your call to the fear of the Lord. We thank you, Lord. We're asking, Lord, for a greater portion, Lord, a greater measure in our lives, a greater revelation of the fear of the Lord, to understand what it is that you're doing and speaking to us in this hour, God. Lord, would you give us a greater revelation and understanding of the fear of the Lord? We want to know you deeper and greater, God. We want to know you so much more, Lord. Would you pour out a greater portion of the fear of the Lord in us, God? Would you pour it out in us, Lord? We want more to worship you, to exalt your name, to have those wow moments, to encounter you in greater measure, Lord. So, Lord, this night, would you give us a greater revelation of the fear of the Lord? We say yes. We say yes to you tonight, God. We say yes. We say yes, God. We want more of you. Greater revelation, greater portion, God. Fill us with the overflowing, Lord. Give us the wisdom that is necessary, the wisdom that comes with fear of the Lord, the understanding that comes, all the benefits that come with the fear of the Lord. We say yes, God. We want that. We want that. We say yes, God. We say yes to you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
I want to know you more. surrender. I wanna know, 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 know. Surrender to you.